2 Timothy chapter number 2, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I want you to please look at, well, let's look at verse number 1. You'll notice here, and I love your theme, to continue on. We're to continue on till the trumpet sounds, or till Christ takes us home. But the thing is that we're here, I'm sure you understand this, we're here on purpose. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Everyone from the youngest in this room to the oldest in this room. Understand that God has a purpose for you. And there's so much to be done. And God actually describes in this portion of Scripture, He says, let's look, I'll just skim a couple of things, then we'll get to the message. It says, verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So number 1, a son. Or a daughter, I could say. We're sons or daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God in heaven. Understand that. And then, of course, verse number 2, you know there's several generations included in that one verse. Then verse number 3, it says, hey, you're to be a soldier. So I'm a son, I'm a soldier here. And then look down at verse number 5, it says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully." Speaks there, the Apostle Paul knew about sports and competition, so refers to that kind of thing. Then in verse number 6, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit." We could say that's a farmer right there. So, surely you can find something to do in that list, amen, right there? You're a son, you're a daughter, you're a good soldier in the Lord's army, you're a farmer, you know what a farmer does? You're one matter of fact, you just sang the song the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts. He said, "I shall not be moved. I'm just not going to be moved." He said, "None of these things move me." So just to carry on, to continue. Isn't that good right there? And then it goes on down a little bit further. And I want to read in verse number 19, please. Verse number 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." You know what that says right there? You don't need to worry about tomorrow. You don't need to worry about who's in power governmentally. You don't need to worry about what tomorrow brings. The Bible says right here that the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. So that tells me something right there. The Lord knows He's got some soldiers in this room today. He knows those who are His. He's got some competitors in this room today. He's got some farmers in this room today that will produce sons and daughters in this room. The Lord knoweth who are His. So in other words, there's a job to do. You can't hide, okay? There's a job for you to do, okay? And then it goes on to say, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So it says, you got a job to do. I got a purpose for you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I've got a project for you to do. I got a work for you to do. And then he goes on to say this. Look at verse number 20, please. "But in a great house," can I say, not to deter the scripture this morning, but can I say, the Bible says here, in a great house. I understand what that says, but did you know that the Anchor Baptist Church is a great house? Amen. Uplift God, give the gospel, see folks saved, mature Christians, send folks to the mission field. That's a great house right there. And it's a great house because, you know what? The Lord put it in place. I don't know where you live. You may live in a mansion. You may live in a condo. You may live in a duplex. I don't know. But it's a pretty great place where you live, isn't it? It's your home. There's no place like home. But this is home for the Christian right here. And then that eternal home, heaven is a great place, but it speaks of a great place right here, a great house. And it goes on to say this. Look what it says here. "There are not only vessels of gold and of silver, and also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use." There we go again. God has a purpose for you. Meet for the master. You've got to meet his qualifications. But God has a purpose for you. Make yourself available to him, the Bible says here. "And prepared unto every good work." I want to talk for a few moments this morning about something that probably you've heard something on before, but I want to talk about what the Bible speaks here are vessels. The Bible talks about this. We have four different kinds of vessels, if you notice. It speaks of gold, it speaks of silver, it speaks of wood, and it speaks of earth. So I want to talk about those vessels today. So let's have a word of prayer, then we'll get into the message. Lord, I pray now that you would do that which only you can do in this meeting, at this time, in this place. I pray, dear God, you'd stir our hearts, you'd convict us. Lord, may we see through the Scriptures what you have for us. I thank you for every person in this room that is serving you. But Lord, I understand that some of us perhaps are not to our capacity in service to you. Some have not nailed down a particular job or a particular area of service in our lives for you. But I pray, Lord, we'd understand this morning that we're your children. We have a responsibility to you. You have bought us with a price, the Bible says. And so help us, Lord, to understand that there is a job for us to do. There is a position for us to have. And Lord, that we may fulfill that and that you may keep us on the straight and narrow. And indeed, we may continue, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. So remember, there are four kinds of vessels the Bible speaks here. This speaks of gold, speaks of silver, speaks of wood, and speaks of earth. Now, a vessel, you know a vessel to be something very interesting. A vessel is something that holds something for someone else. I'm sure probably you've got flower vases, or do you call it a vase? Vase or vase at home, and so on. You put flowers in there, a little bit of water, and so on. Well, that's a vessel right there. But also, oh, how many of you have, my soul? You know what? Everybody in this room can relate to this. You have some pots and pans that you use for cooking. That's a vessel right there. Matter of fact, I've got a vessel with me this morning right here. Maybe I'll leave it right there for an illustration. That's a vessel right there. It holds some water for me. And so there are all different kinds of vessels. The Bible says there's gold, there's silver, there's wood, there's earth, and so on. And so everybody here has something you can do for the cause of Christ. You are a vessel. Doesn't matter about your age. Doesn't matter if you're older. Doesn't matter if you're a teenager. Doesn't matter if you're middle age. I hope that in October of 2024 that you'll understand that God wants to use you. God can use you. And God will use you, providing you present Him, you present yourself to Him, rather. You may say, well, I have nothing to offer. You mean to tell me that God, who created you and had a purpose for you and put you on this earth, does not have a job for you to do? And by the way, if He has a job for you to do, He will equip you for the job. But what you have to do is you have to serve by faith. That's not always easy, amen? To serve by faith. But God has a job for you to do. Everywhere you go in this world, everywhere you go, it doesn't matter where it is, you can go to a household, you can go to a mud hut, you can go to a yurt somewhere, you can go to a wigwam, you can go to a mansion, you're going to find vessels. Everybody's got them. Or maybe all different, but everybody has vessels. And so today, God is looking for a vessel, the Bible says here, that's fit for the master's use. A vessel is something that holds something for someone else. Can I remind you, we started out this chapter by saying, my son, you are a son of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Can I remind you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible says this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So just to say this very clearly and plainly, if you're a believer this morning, you belong to God. He has purchased you with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, would you agree with me this morning that you maybe you own a home, you own a car, you own a summer cottage, maybe you own a RV, maybe you own a speedboat, I don't know. But what you do with those is up to you. What you do with that house is up to you. You own that house. What you do with it, whether you live in it, whether you sell it, whether you rent it out, whatever you do, it belongs to you. So it's up to you what you do with it. Well, the same is true of us. I belong to God Almighty, bought by the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I do with my life is up to Him. He bought me. He owns me. Now, somebody owns you today. If you're a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ owns you. If you're not, then you're controlled by Satan himself, the Bible would tell us. So understand this. You are owned by Him. You are bought with a price. You see, those of you who cook, probably men and ladies in this room that cook, I'm sure, and you have a favorite vessel or a vessel that you use if you're going to cook something. I know so little about cooking, I'm nervous talking about this. I use a piece of tin foil and a Coleman gas stove to cook fish, eggs, toast, whatever. But, I mean, you have a special vessel that you use, a special pot, a special pan, when you're going to cook a special meal. Well, here, he says, a vessel meet for the master's use, something that he has for you to do, and you alone, only you can do that. No one else, only you, just for you. It's a special thing right there. And God wants to use you for his purposes and for his blessing. Now, let me give you several things this morning. Number one thought is this. First of all, you must be a purchased vessel. You must be a purchased vessel. You must be a vessel that is bought and paid for. Do you know, dear believer, you have been bought with a price. We've already talked a little bit about that. God sent his son, his only son, Jesus Christ. God in human flesh. God in skin, we could say, this morning. And he came and lived on this earth and preached on this earth. And then he died on the cross, was crucified, put in a borrowed tomb, and rose from the grave and ascended back to heaven one day for you and for I to pay for your sins so that you could be used of God. You are bought with a price, very clearly. So if can I say this? I got to remember to stay in front of this microphone, Kevin, right? Just signal me back in if I wander over here, go like that. If I wander over here, go like that. And so understand there are people by the hundreds, maybe I could say by the thousands today in this greater Vancouver area who are in some kind of what they would call a church, and they would claim they're serving God. But the truth is, unless you're a child of God, unless you're bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not serving God. Amen. So understand, that's why I'm saying you must be a purchased vessel. There's a lot of people that try to do a lot of good things. Amen. And I understand that. And that can be somewhat noble, I guess. But outside the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not serving God unless you're one of his children. Because you only get to do that once you come into the family of God. I live in a bit of a rural setting. I've talked about it before. I live on an acreage. I have animals there. My youngest son is... family, his wife and children live on the same property. There are two dwellings there. And so there's always something to be done. On a farm, there's always something to be done. Amen. The work is never done. Never, never, never. But if somebody came on that property, matter of fact, this happened once. Somebody comes on the property and starts doing something on the property. Well, I can't say what I do. I let the dogs out. Okay? I sound the alarm. I do something because they're not supposed to be doing that. They don't belong on that property. They're not part of the family. Not part of the Arbo family and Arbo Acres. So they can't come on that property and just start doing something. That's the same way with the Christian. The only way you can serve God, the only way you can be effectively serving God, is if you're part of the family of God. That's pretty easy to understand, I think, right there. So you must be a purchased vessel. Thus, When you pay for something, you have the right to say what's done with it. Well, your sins have been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, a purchased vessel. If you're here this morning and you're not absolutely sure that you're a child of God, you need to make sure that happens before you leave this place. You need to put your faith and trust. Salvation is very simple. You know, religion has complicated it. And unfortunately, churches have complicated it. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's pretty simple right there. Help, Lord, save me. Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. Please come into my life, forgive me my sins. I understand you died on the cross that my sins might be forgiven. Come into my heart, into my life, and give me new life in Christ, that I become a child of God, adopted into the family of God. That's pretty simple right there. So it's not complicated. Religion has complicated it. Unfortunately, man has complicated it. And churches have complicated it. But in this Bible, it makes it very clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's eternally saved. So you must be a purchased vessel. Then secondly, you must be a planned vessel. You must be a planned vessel. In other words, understand that God has a plan for your life. I mentioned a while ago, certain people use certain pots and certain pans to cook, different shapes and different sizes. It's all, you're going to pull the skillet down for one thing or the crock pot for another and so on. You use different things for different purposes. I understand all that. But I understand that it's got to be planned out. Different shapes and different sizes of those vessels and so on. A vessel for a particular reason. And God has a plan for your life. You are an individual that God created. Did you know everybody in this room has different DNA? God knows what he's doing. We used to say different. Well, I guess we do still have different thumbprints and different fingerprints. But DNA is the big thing nowadays. So everybody's different. There's no two persons in this room alike. None of us. And so understand, God has a plan that George can't do for you. God has a plan that Lisa can't do for you. You got to do it for the Lord. It's for you. So that right there is a plan vessel right there. You see, God has a plan. You need not turn to it. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 3 says this, "And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel," forming exactly what he wanted on the wheel. "Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and still." He's planning, making you just the way. That's why certain things come into your life. You say, how come this never happens to anybody else? God allows it because he can use that in an area of service where you are right there. You see, understand, a plan vessel. He's purchased you for a reason. And he has a plan for your life. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Right there. You don't work for your salvation, you work because of your salvation. You get, hey, what an honor to get to serve the Lord. I was praying on the way over here as I was driving in from Alder Grove, and I can't get over the fact, even at my age, I'm an older person, I'm a senior citizen and so on. I've been in the ministry for over 50 years, 52 years plus. And I can't, it's beyond my understanding why the Lord would still allow me to be used somewhere, somehow. What a blessing that is. What a pleasure that is. What an honor that is to be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So understand, it's a planned vessel right there. Your plan, things are planned out for you. Interesting story. I used to hear my dad tell this, but back in the days when cars were just coming out in North America and so on, you all know who would have produced the first cars in North America. It was Mr. Henry Ford. And stories told about Henry Ford in Detroit area, walking down the road one day. He was out near where he was living, walking out for a stroll, and he came upon a man who was stalled by the side of the road in his old car. Not many people had cars back in those days, but this man had a car, but the car was stalled. So Mr. Ford went up to him and he said, "Sir," he said, "can I help you with anything?" Well, he looked at Mr. Ford, didn't know who he was, and he said, "This guy's walking. He's asking me if he can help me fix my car. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole." So he said to the guy, he said to Mr. Ford, he said, "No," he said, "you don't look like you can help me." And so Mr. Ford walked away. The guy's friend with the man who owned the car, he said, "Do you know who that was?" He said, "No." He said, "That was Henry Ford, the man who made the car." What a foolish thing for you to say you don't want his help. He made you. What I'm saying by that is this: God made you. So for you to say, "Well, I want to do things my way," it doesn't work out very well. "I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what I think is best for me." Blah blah blah, on like that. But the thing is, we got to understand that he has a plan for us, Lord. Lead me in your direction. So, a purchased vessel, first of all, you got to be saved. Secondly, a planned vessel. Thirdly, these are all P's because I can remember them that way. You should be a presented vessel. You need to give yourself, listen to this, you need to give yourself 100% to him so that he can do with you what he has planned for you to do. Amen? 100%. To say, "Well, I'll serve him on Sunday and Wednesday." That's not 100% right there. I don't know what percent that is, but it's not 100%. So you live for the Lord every day. Like Monday, you should be the same kind of a Christian on Monday as you are on Sunday. When you get up in the morning, you get to go to church and visit with friends and put on your Sunday go to meeting clothes and you sing great songs and visit with your friends. And, "Oh, Sunday's a wonderful day." Well, you know, Monday's a wonderful day too if you're a Christian. I know you got to go to work. And I know you got to go to school. And I know you'll face some antagonism and you'll face some criticism and you'll face some people. You know, people say, "Oh, boy, I had a wonderful weekend, man. We did this, that, and the other. We partied all night Saturday night. So we had a wonderful time. What did you do on the weekend?" "I went to church." "Oh, no, you're one of those." All I'm saying is, on Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, you should be the same as you are on Sunday. Consistency. Continue on. And just mind your service to the Lord. So to present your vessel means simply present it to God. I got a verse for that. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen? A living sacrifice. You're alive. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. We've been conned by this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is that good and acceptable and then perfect will of God. Yield to His will. Don't waste the vessel by doing what you want to do with it, but what God wants to do with it. Amen? You're a vessel. The Bible says that. Some silver, some gold, some wood, some earthen vessels, but don't waste your time. No. It says that He has a job for you to do. God wants to use you. You know, you say, well, Pastor Arwell, you don't even understand. You don't know where I came from. You don't know what I know or what I don't know. You don't know what I do or what I don't know, I don't do. And so on. I understand all that. But did you know the one, being saved, we nailed that down. You've got to be a purchased vessel. But the one thing you must have to serve God, and one thing alone, is this: availability. You got to make yourself available. How many of you heard, or maybe you said this yourself, well, I would have helped them if they'd asked me. Did you offer? Just saying. I mean, say, here, God, here, what did Isaiah say? What did Abraham say? What did other saints of God say? Here am I, send him. No, they said, here am I, send me. I'll be the one that'll go. I'll step out. Step out in faith and trust the Lord. His great abundant power is sufficient for this hour. Step out in faith and trust the Lord. You say, Lord, I'm available. I'm available. So you present yourself to Him. Don't waste your vessel. So I'm sure you've heard your preacher talk about this, the late Dr. D.L. Moody. He heard a man say, he said, this world has yet to see what God can do. I'm paraphrasing here, I don't remember the exact quote, but this world has yet to see what God could do through one who will solely and totally dedicate himself to the Lord. Moody, a man who, they used to talk about him and say he murdered the king's English. He didn't have good English, didn't have good skills for speaking. He brought what was called street urchins into Sunday school. In other words, what that meant is he would go around with a horse and wagon and pick up children, load them on the buggies, and haul them into to church, to Sunday school. Big heart for children. That man influenced, I would say, Brother Kevin, I'd say influenced millions. There's still today, far cry from what it used to be, but there's still a Moody Bible Institute somewhere, I think, in the Chicago area. There are people on the mission field. There are pastors and churches all over the world where this man influenced individuals. Now, the generations down the road, just because this man stepped out and gave himself solely, he wasn't perfect, but he was a child of God, but gave himself solely and totally to God's purpose for his life. That's what you and I need to do. So understand, you're a purchased vessel. You're a presented vessel. You must present yourself to God. You're a planned vessel. There's a plan for your life. Then, fourthly, got a couple more here. How about this? And it says in the, matter of fact, look back at the text, please, with me. Bible says, verse number 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So, you not only are a planned vessel and a purchased vessel, but you've also, listen to this, you've also, and I know you know this, you hear it from your preacher, you've got to be a purged vessel. Amen. This one may not be the most pleasant. How many of you in this room have gone out and you bought a new pot or you bought a new pan or a new kind of cooking device, or, hey, how about this, you're making a cup of coffee in the morning. How many of you do that without washing out the cup? Or you don't want, do IKEA sell pots and pans? I don't know. I think they probably do. Thank you, ladies. The men don't know, but the ladies do. That's good. And so you go there and you buy your pot or pan and you bring it home and say, this will be perfect for the stir fryer. This will be whatever. I don't know much about cooking. This will be perfect for that. It's exactly what I need. You'll be shocked what you pay for it nowadays. That's copper. Oh, my soul. That's like a, it'll take me equal monthly payments for a year to pay this pot off. But how many of you would take it home and you'd start using it right away without washing it? Nobody's going to do that. You're going to clean it out first. You don't know where it's been. You don't know what's got on it. That's what he's saying, a purged vessel. In other words, a cleaned up vessel. How many of you would, how about this? How many of you have ever gone into a restaurant? You've gone into a restaurant and you've sat down, maybe you and your wife or maybe you and your family and so on. You've sat down in the restaurant and you look at the menu and you order a nice meal and they bring the meal and you pick up the fork and it's already got some food on it. Are you going to say, oh, extra that I didn't pay for? No, you know, what fool's going to, you're not going to say that. You're going to say, ooh, yuck, waiter, waitress, this fork, not fit for use, not fit for human consumption. No, you don't want that. Or how about something on the plate that doesn't belong on there? The dishwasher, the automated one, or the army? Haven't cleaned it up well. How about this? You're waiting for your meal, and I usually order a glass of water, a glass of water with ice. So they bring a nice glass of water, and they set it on the table, and I look at it, and I'm ready to take a drink, and I see something floating in the bottom. I'm sorry, but we're facing reality right here, okay? You know, we say what you want. So you see, and you say, well, I'm only drinking the top half, so it's okay. No, you're not going to say that. You're going to call some, hey, come do something about this. I can't drink this. It's contaminated. Can I say, according to the Word of God, very clear all through the Bible, that God is one who purges. You got to clean up your act, okay? You got to be a clean vessel, a fit vessel, and God certainly can clean you up. I'm just telling you there that God wants to use you, but he wants to use a purge, not only a purchased vessel and a planned vessel, but a purge vessel, one who is cleaned up. How do you do that? Oh, the Bible is a good way to start, right? Amen? The Bible says the washing of water by the Word, clean up your life. You look in this Bible. You know what this Bible says? This Bible tells you that it's a mirror. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? Those of you who didn't put your hand up should have. Oh, I'm sorry, but you know what I'm saying? My wife always makes sure my tie's straight in the morning. But all I'm saying is you look in the mirror, you're going to see things maybe you don't like, but you're going to get an opportunity to fix them. This book is a mirror right here. It can help you get some things straightened up. If you look in it, this book will tell you what you will not tell yourself. Amen. Moving right along. But a purged vessel. You've got to get yourself in order here. Understand that. I know that you'd understand that, but you got to clean things up. Why would God use a vessel that is not fit for his use? Now, purging isn't just cleaning up. Purging is dropping off some things in our lives. Some things that we ought not to do, some things we ought not to be. But what is most important? Remember I said a while ago, good enough is not good enough. Well, I'll give God 5 days of the week. No, good enough is not good enough. You've got 100% of your life, 100% of your time. God understands that you have to work, that you have a job to do, you have a family to look after. It's interesting. How interesting is it that somebody else can always find something for you to do? What's that all about? They can always find, they can always improve on your life. But you have to put the effort into it. To understand, God understands that. God will help you with that. And God can be involved in every part of your life. It's a busy life. As I said, you folks here are busy. But some things you're going to have to drop off. That's why sometimes our schedules butt heads. Sometimes they're certain, I got to do this, I got to do that. We got to think of this. How about think of this? What does God want me to do? Right there. So, we talked about all these different kind of vessels. We'll wind it up here with how about a prosperous vessel? I like that one. A vessel on the shelf may look nice. My wife collects some nice flower vases and so on, and They look really nice, but I'm not going to drink out of them. I'm not going to fill with a 7-Eleven Slurpee. Okay, that's not the purpose of the thing. I want to have a prosperous vessel. A vessel on the shelf may look nice, however, you don't want to eat out of it. But a vessel that is useful. How about this? Simply helping out the cause of Christ. As I mentioned a while ago, it all is sort of wrapped up in this one statement. Just make yourself available. Make yourself willing. What is it? If you say, well, you know what? I have no idea what God would want me to do. I got some help for you here. Ask the pastor. That's helpful right there. Ask your spouse. Ask your parents. Ask a fellow believer, if you wish. But first of all, I'd recommend you go to the pastor. But understand that useful, remember I said a while ago, a vessel is something that holds something for someone else. So someone wrote the song, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. To serve others, to love others, to live for others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a good thing. Usefulness in your life. Useful to God, useful to the local church, useful to the pastor, useful to other members, useful to family, useful to friends, and can I say it, useful to foes. Yes. You know, your actions speak louder than words. It's just the way it is. In May, my oldest grandson called me. He calls me Papa, and he said, Papa, he works in a copper mine in Princeton, and works on those massive big trucks. He's a heavy-duty mechanic. He said, Grandpa, they're having mine days at the mine on such and such a date. And he said, I have a couple of tickets. They don't cost, but I got the tickets, and I'd like you to come and see where I work and what I do and all that kind of thing. And I thought, walking around a copper mine isn't the top of the list for me. Not something I'm interested in necessarily, but I laid down that night and I didn't have a peaceful night. And I kept thinking, you know, Lord, what is it? Do you want me to go? So I woke up in the morning and I just felt that the Lord wanted me to do this and go. So I thought, I'll go. So I had to drive all the way up to Princeton and so on. And I got there and I thought, you know, maybe 50 people would be there and they'd take us on a tour of the mine. There was 500 people there. They had 12 school buses. You had to park your car at the city park and board a bus. And so we go up to the mine, and we have this phenomenal tour, and it was quite enjoyable, actually, because everybody in this room uses copper every day of your life for some reason. It's throughout the house, provides lights and so on for you, hydro runs through it, all that kind of good stuff. But it was quite exciting. Matter of fact, we watched them blow up the side of a mountain. That was really exciting right there. For me, it was, anyway. I was able to take pictures. I was a half a mile away, but I was able to take pictures of that. Going back on the bus, I'm sitting beside this gentleman. I'm not sitting beside my grandson. He's with a friend. Sitting beside this gentleman, and we're talking about it, and said, hey, how was that? That was fun. Hey, he said, yeah, I wish I had my kids. Side of a mountain blown up. That's pretty interesting right there. And I said to him, so what do you do for a living? And he said, I'm a mechanic in Penticton. And he said, I have 2 children and a wife. But he said, I've heard about this, and I just wanted to come and see it. And he said to me, so what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a retired pastor. He said, where do you live? I said, I live in Alder Grove. He said, really? He said, my father lives in Alder Grove. My father's sick unto death. He's very ill. He's got no friends. He's got no family nearby. And life has been very tough for him the last 2 years. Sitting on the stinking school bus at the mine. I'm getting this. Long story short, I said to him, I said, I would be honored to go visit your dad. I said, do you have any church affiliation? He said, no. As far as I know, he's never been in a church of any kind. But get this. The man lives 4 blocks from where I live. Amen. Tell me God doesn't know what he's doing. Huh? All I'm saying is, that's my story. You have your stories. But all you must do is make yourself available to God, and God will use you. Understand that. Now, I've got to include this right here. I talked about all these different kind of vessels. What about a patched vessel? Psalm 31, verse 12 says, I am like a broken vessel. David said that. David did a lot of damaging things in his life. A man after God's own heart, yet he slipped more than once. Every emotion you find in life, you can find somewhere in the book of Psalms, basically because of David. But some vessels are broken. But I quoted the verse from Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 3. The vessel was marred in the hands of the potter. Not by the hands, marred in the hands of the potter, but he made it again. I don't know who's here in this room, but you may say, well, I did something in my life that I don't believe God can ever use me now because of what I did or what I did not do or what I thought or what I did not think or whatever. But did you know that God can use you? Hey, the greatest thing you can do, the greatest thing you can do in your Christian life, in my estimation, is glorify God. You glorify God by talking about His Son to others. There's nobody disqualified for that. If you're a believer, you say, well, what are the qualifications of a witness? How about reading about the woman at the well? Hello. Yeah. Life was a mess. But Jesus talked to her, told her about living water. She went back to the city, and she drew the city out to hear Jesus. All I'm saying is you can be used. The potter does not throw the clay away. He remakes it. We have a song in our songbook, I believe. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded, presented, and still. Christian, follow the Lord. Follow the Lord's leading. Now, I will say this. If you follow the Lord, the world will probably unfollow you. Huh? Yeah. But that's okay. If you're a friend of God, like Abraham was, we live in this kind of a crazy day. But if you're a friend of God, the world will unfriend you. We got that happening everywhere nowadays, don't we? Yeah. I got 500 friends. No, you don't. All you need is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I mean, it's good to have some acquaintances and some communication back and forth, but you don't have 500 friends to lay down their life for you. You have one. Amen? That's the Lord Jesus. So, a useful vessel. Bring your vessel. That's right here. Just something that holds something for someone else. Isn't that simple? Some gold, some silver, some wood, some earthen vessels. But God can, there's no one that God cannot use. My dad, bless his memory, he used to say, if God can use a donkey, he can use you. If God can use a rooster, he can use you. If God can use a fish to bring a coin to pay the taxes, God can use you. Will you let God use you today? Will you be a fit vessel, fit meat for the Master's use?